All right, one last time. God is good
all the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You're terrific, Father God. Absolutely terrific. Thank you so very much for sending your son into the world. And he has captivated so many of us. And we're grateful that we get to know him personally. We are grateful that we one day will be with him in heaven. But now we have to settle for his presence with us and enjoy him during our DPEs. And if you would help those who are with us who don't know what a DPE is, it is a deep personal experience that we've been able to enjoy because of you extending your favor, your grace upon us, and at the same time providing us that faith to trust that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, is your Son. He is our Redeemer. He went to the cross for each of us and those around the world. And each of those who have received him, Father, we are some of those who are among that tremendous group in the world. We are now family members of yours, and we thank you so very much. So, family, as we begin, it has been my habit over the last years that the Sunday after my birthday, I would share with you certain ones of my birthday cards. I'm very disappointed in most of you this year. For some reason, is it because I'm 80 that you sent me cards that were so fluffy and, you know, cards that all talk about the Lord and my being in the ministry? I mean, what happened to you? What happened to that? I mean, I thought I imparted that ugly part of my heart to you. I only got two. Well, I'm waiting for it. But I won't be able to share it. But I got two ugly cards. That's not going to stop me from sending ugly cards. But this one's kind of neat. I guess. It says, it's got a scientist on the front of it, and it says, it is a scientific fact that people who have more birthdays live longer. And you are living proof. 80 years old. Thank you, Nina. Not Nina Lutfi. She's always just gracious. Nina Sotosanti, not so much. I love you, Nina. You still owe me the million. Okay. On the front of this card, you got an old guy. He's running into the ocean. He has one of those bathing suits I haven't worn since I was high school on the swimming team, you know, those European bikinis. Anyway, he's running into the ocean and says, yippee! And then getting old is awesome. Said no one ever. Anyway, happy birthday. And you called this clown to be your senior shepherd. So, anyway, this morning is filled with lots of emotion, different emotion. I've got emotion due to tears, or emotion that brings about tears, because I don't sleep much at night since I had this knee replaced. It really hurts. So if you see a grimace on my face, it's not because of the message, and it's not because I'm upset with anyone. The grimace is because it hurts, just simply. And there might be a grimace because, as you know, in my heart, I'm very much a police officer, and two of the Baldwin Hill officers were shot last night. One of them was murdered. The other one's in the hospital. So why don't you pray for both of their families? And that'll be a blessing to them, and I know it will be to me. But it's hard for me to hear these things, and they just go on far too often. And thank you for honoring our fallen officers last Sunday. Thank you very much for joining me in that. And there's a measure of pain this morning just because I'm giving a farewell message. When I arrived here in May of 1983, I couldn't see this far into the future. I had no idea he, our Lord, would keep me as well as Kathy here for that length of time. But Kathy and I are ever so grateful that he has. We love you very much. It's so good to see men that have served alongside me here, who our Lord pushed off to other places where he wanted them to serve him. And it's nice to have them back today. And it's overwhelming to have them back because they travel so far and it costs so much to come. And Kathy and I are humbled by that. But we thank you all. We thank all of you because our love is not withheld from many of you. And as Jesus loves you in full measure of love, not ever withholding any, we enter into that love for you. You are an extremely valuable group of people to Kathy and me, and we love you very much. So my grimace will probably be more just, it's emotional, and there's a sadness, but a joy. It's that sadness and joy that brings tears from God the Holy Spirit. You know, he gives us love and joy and peace and patience and so forth. And those tears are there because you have meant and mean so very much to us. So a farewell message for you who are new with us. You'll see in your message notes, and I do hope you have something to write with. There's three essential questions that I begin each of my messages with for probably the last, 15, 18 years. I found that these essential questions can help the Word of God pop for people who are in Christ. The Word of God comes to life. It is active, as it should be. And these questions will help that come about, and it will help this morning's message resonate more with you. And you might think it through. You might see the media team for a DVD, or you may go online to listen to the message over again with your message notes and bring this message to your hearts. The three essential questions are, what did you hear? What did you hear? What point in this message was most impactful for you as an individual? What do you think? How did this message challenge, change, or affirm your thinking? And the last question is such an important one. And that is, what will you do? How will you put into practice what you have learned today? I don't stand up here for 40 plus years just to practice talking. I've been up here to teach you the truth of a loving God, our Abba Father. And what he has taught, he is saying through every message, past, present, from men that I have asked to come and fill the pulpit on those Sundays that I've been away. And gentlemen, some of you are here this morning too, and I thank you. But we are to be doing the Word of God. James, the brother, half-brother of our Lord, he told us in his letter that we are to be those people who are doers of the Word, not just hearers. The hearing is fine, but unless you do something about it, we have missed the point.
Amen.
So family, as you look at your notes, there is a fact there before you. When someone serves our Abba Father faithfully in a local church, and I'm choosing these words very carefully, when someone serves our Abba Father faithfully in a local church, something remarkable happens to that person. Something remarkable. As I began to say earlier, when I showed up in May of 1983, I came wearing a suit and a tie, and I was asked to become an interim pastor, or not interim, but intern pastor. And I was basically a blank slate. I didn't come to faith as a child. I came to faith as an adult after having gone to war and now in college. And I wasn't really happy with our Abba Father. I didn't like him very much due to the war. But over the course of time, I found that I shed my suit and tie for a coat, sports coat and tie. And then I noticed that all of you men weren't wearing them. And I thought, why should I stand up here and be uncomfortable? So I shed those too. And for many years, it was basically a Hawaiian shirt and jeans. I don't know why Kath picked this shirt this morning. I thought for sure she'd pick among my zillion Hawaiian shirts to put me up here. But something remarkable happens to us. I didn't know what it was like to run a church. I knew nothing. I knew a lot about law enforcement, but I didn't know anything about being a shepherd. It was something that I grew into as my relationship with Jesus became more personal, much deeper and intimate. Then it just all became very natural to follow the best example that we have, Jesus Christ. What I've spoken about, this is what happened to Paul in Ephesus. We're going to be looking at Acts 20. You say, well, we didn't finish 18 last week, Ron. I know. I don't think I'll ever finish it. I've got the other half of my manuscript, but Acts 20 speaks about Paul in the Ephesian church that he planted. And with that planting, he would spend 3 years with them, which I'll mention more in just a moment. But he called the leadership of the Ephesian church to come join him in another place as he was having a layover before going to Jerusalem. So this message is for all of us. The examples Paul puts forth is for all of us. But I'll be speaking to the leadership of GHCC as Kathy and I exit our positions of leadership here. As part of Paul's third missionary journey, he stayed in Ephesus. He lived there for approximately 3 years. Father God used him while he was there, and the church in Ephesus had been marked by his ministry. They knew him. They knew him well. And so many of you that have taken the time, you've gotten to know Kathy and I very well. He lived among them as we have lived among so many of you. Some of you are saying, we came, Damien was just saying, we've been here 25 years. Others of you have been here 30 years. Some of you have been here 35 years. None of you have been here as long as we have. We've outlived all of the former church. But they knew him. He lived among them. He was their pastor. He was their chaplain. Pastors often, in my opinion and yet others, is we go through stages. We might first begin as your chaplain. You'll let us into your life to marry you, to bury you, to listen to you about things that might be on your heart that you just don't quite feel you have someone else to share with. It's the holy guy. You'll go to him. But after about 5 years, you begin to move into a position to where you become their shepherd. There were so many years that Kathy and I knew so many intimate details concerning many of you. I remember one family. They're no longer here. They're in another state, but they had a parakeet. I knew their parakeet's name. You know, just knew the fine details of family. And that's what comes when your shepherd finally falls in love with his church, with the flock that Jesus has put before him, and begins to bring more and more to. Some of you will remember when we had three associate pastors on staff. And then the earthquake came and a major aerospace company moved to Arizona. And by the end of that year, we'd gone from a church of over 300 to a church of 100, and we had to release two of our three associate pastors. As part of Paul's third missionary journey, he stayed in Ephesus and lived with them, as I said, about 3 years. He had already left at this point, but on a layover a short distance away from Ephesus, he called the leaders of the Ephesian church for one last talk, because he knew that this talk would be the last talk he would ever have with them. And there was much tears in their separation that was looming. We're experiencing some of the same emotions ourselves this morning. Thankfully, Kathy and I aren't going too far. We have no plan on selling our home at this juncture. We are waiting on the Lord to give us direction. more direction, I should guess I should say. We definitely plan on coming back and seeing you. Now, I know that's a disappointment to some. But it brings me great joy. We know that there were certain things that marked Paul's ministry among the Ephesian church family. Great emotions were shared among this church upon his departure. I thought this passage would be helpful, a helpful guide for guiding us all in what we're experiencing this morning and this afternoon. Specifically, this passage leaves us with two things that Kathy and I take with us. Two things. You can see in your notes the heading. Here are two things Kathy and I will take with us as we step away from full-time ministry into this new season of life. We are leaving with a good track record. We're leaving with a good track record. Kathy has been faithful to me for almost 56 years, and I to her. We've had no embarrassments to cause our church family. And that, in the greater part, is because of our own DPE, our own personal times with our Lord. Paul was able to look back on his ministry among them and was able to reflect on his ministry among them with the knowledge that he had served Abba Father faithfully. Now, for some of you who have not maybe been with us, I love the term Abba Father. And many in the church family over the years now that I've been using it because of the personal intimacy with our Heavenly Father have been using it as well. And it is a mark of having a personal relationship with God the Father. For you see, Abba, if you don't know what it means Papa, Daddy. There was a time for many years when we had a Middle Eastern ministry on our campus, and it was sweet to come to their gatherings when I'd been asked to preach, and my son-in-law, being Egyptian, and he would interpret for me. But afterwards, we would hear the children running around and we'd hear, Abba, Abba, Abba. It's an Arabic term, Abba. Ronnie took the term Abba, as I've shared in one message and way past, and he wouldn't call me Abba, he called me Yaba. I don't know if that came in the Star Wars later, Yaba the Hutt, or whatever he was. But he called me Yaba. Julie would call me Dad. Mindy, she called me Dad on occasion, but for the most part, she would call me Father. I won't tell you what Kathy has called me. We're leaving a good track record. So specifically, he lists four qualities of his ministry that marked his faithfulness. Family, say that with me, would you? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Say it loud. Faithfulness. That is a word that every Christian should embrace, and it should be strongly held in his or her heart and mind to remain faithful. Faithful to Abba. faithful to the Lord Jesus, faithful in our encompassing and calling forth the Holy Spirit to lead us in power and in faithfulness in our ministries, in our lives. There are the same qualities that Kathy and I hope. We hope very much has marked our ministry among you. The first mark there in your notes is he served Jesus selflessly. Selflessly. In Acts 20, verses 18 through 19, notice what the Holy Spirit reveals to us. And when they came to him, when these leaders all came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia." That was Asia Minor. Typically, if you're new with us, I would have maps in our message notes and pictures and so forth. Ephesus is on the west coast of what we call today Turkey. It's in ruins, but that's where it was. And you would pick up ships to go from there to other parts of the Mediterranean. Serving the Lord with all humility. Gary, Chris, Eugene, all of you who are former leaders or leaders of our core value teams, serving the Lord with all humility, not lording over others, putting others over ourselves and seeking their best and highest good. Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Paul was so beaten up in various cities for sharing nothing but good news. You want to go to heaven? Yeah, I know the way. You want to go to hell? No? Good, I know the way to heaven. Observation as you look at your notes there. Paul was subservient. Subservient. He's not just selfless, family. Paul is a wonderful example. He was not a perfect man. But he was subservient. He was selfless. He served the Lord even when it involved humility. Humility, tears, and trials. And Kathy and I have no idea of how many tears we have shed over the church called, we lovingly called GHCC, over these 4+ decades. Why tears? Because we are absolutely and still are in love with you. As you look back at your notes, the word serve here doesn't simply mean acts of service, like going to a restaurant and somebody taking your order and then later bringing that order to you and seeing if you need additional fill-ups of your Pepsi or something. Does not mean acts of service. It means to be owned by another. Not a popular thought, since racism is something that is brought forth in our country so often to continue to have people angry with each other because they're not of the same race, or what happened in the past. The past is past. All of us who are in Christ, it doesn't make any difference what color we are, what race we are. makes no difference whatsoever. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. And He is our Creator. He created all of us. And there is no one race more superior than another. And if you think that there is, please call me up next week. I'm not going to have much to do. We'll have a long, loving conversation. It means to be owned by another, to perform the duties of a slave. That's what this term means. This is what Paul is, even to this day, as he walks the corridors of heaven. It's what I became so many years ago, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the marks of a faithful minister is knowing that you don't belong. You do not belong to yourself. But if you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a genuine Christian, you belong to Him. And He is the one who helps us to know what we're to do today, tomorrow, and the next day. This is one of the marks of a faithful minister, is knowing that you don't belong to yourself and you belong to Father God, and that your primary desire, here's your fill-in, is to please Him. To please Him. If this isn't the case, family, friend, if this is not the case for you, I encourage you to find out how to make a course correction. That characterized Paul's ministry. It characterized Kathy's ministry. And I hope mine as well. It should be how all of us aim to live our lives. This should be our goal. Get it? Good. He served Jesus selflessly, and I believe Kathy and I have pursued that service. Number two, he preached the word. He preached the word faithfully. In Acts 20, verse 20 and 21, as well as verses 26 and 27, this Holy Writ says, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public. Not hiding behind closed doors. He taught them in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. There are so many things in the Word of God that are contrary to the customs, to the culture of the United States of America. Contrary. Antichrist, if you will. And there are many who have, and maybe even now in my position as a shepherd, that when it comes to a portion of the Word of God that speaks of this being different than American culture, they skip over it. They move on to something easier to teach. They don't want their church family getting mad at them. They don't want their church family to fire them, because that's what happens in many cases. The sheep get mad at their pastor and they want him gone. And they bite and they say all kinds of horrible things because he is teaching the word of God. Many in the American church have forgotten, what is the word of God? The word of God is breathed out by him. It is inspired by him. Much of it is contained in what we call the Bible. Not all of it, but much of it. It is there to correct us. It is there to rebuke us. It is there to teach us to live lives of righteousness, which is very contrary to the rules and laws that most human beings have put in place and want us to follow. Our culture wants to say that the killing of babies in mothers' wombs is all right. Abba Father says, no. Our culture says that cross-dressing and men in women's sports is okay. No. Abba Father says differently. It's in his book. There are so many things. But you know, and some of you have wanted to come and talk to me, and you were mad at me, and others have even left the church. But I did not shirk my responsibility to teach the whole counsel of the word. And I'm so pleased that the man that you have called and the men that you have called to be your elders are men of the word. And they won't let you down. You may not like what Pastor Eugene may have to say on a Sunday, but get mad at your Lord. I got mad at him and he didn't throw me in hell. He changed my mind over the course of time and showed me the truth and his tremendous love, and saved me anyway. Fact, here's your fill-in. Paul did not hesitate to preach what was profitable, even when it was hard. He didn't soft pedal the truth. And I do not believe with your new pastor that will ever happen. Paul went out and was to declare and teach people to turn to Jesus and put their faith in him. Notice the relentless focus on Jesus, because he knew, Paul knew, where your focus goes, your
energy flows.
Absolutely, your energy goes. Abba Father blesses a ministry that is centered on Jesus. And don't forget that, family. As Kathy and I come back in latter months, that's what we're going to continue to be all about. A ministry that is centered on Jesus. That's what this church has been about for 40 plus years. I think of what Charles Spurgeon said. He's a popular preacher for those of us who have been in seminary. But he said this, and I quote, "Preach you Christ and Christ and Christ, and Christ, and nothing else but Christ."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fact, we need messages that are saturated with the news of who Jesus is and what he has done for each and every one of us, our family members who have yet to come to Christ, our dear friends who have yet to come to Christ, the people we work with, people go to school with, people in our neighborhoods who have yet come to Christ. One of the marks of a faithful ministry is preaching the word faithfully, even when it's hard, and that leads us to Jesus. Because Father God works through his word and delights in exalting his son. He serves selflessly. Paul preached the word faithfully. And number three, he guarded the church carefully. Carefully. And I have every reason to believe that Pastor Eugene, Elder Chris, Elder Gary, and future elders will do this. In Acts 20, verse 28, pray carefully, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock. We're listening, right, Eugene? Sir. Pay careful attention to yourselves, Chris, Gary, all of you who are core value team leaders, future core value team leaders, pay attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, pastors, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. He sacrificed his very life for every one of us on the face of this globe, for all of you, family. I haven't been in Laos, sacrificed their lives for our country. Even me. The Lord Jesus did this personally for you individually on that cross. He is the substitutionary sacrifice for your sins individually and mine. Therefore, be alert. Elders, be alert. Leaders in this church, now and future, be on alert, because the evil one's out there. Scripture says he's prowling around like a lion, looking for who he may devour, what lies he may plant within the walls of this facility. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. There's our example, ladies and gentlemen. Paul understood what was at stake here. He knew the immense value of the church that it has been obtained with Jesus' own blood. Jesus died to save them, as he did you. He didn't say, I'm going to die for GHCC. He said, I'm going to die for Ronald Wright personally. I'm going to die for Rick. I'm going to die personally for Damien, Annette, Barbara. I'm going to die for them. But he does it individually, and he did for all of us to take away our sins. He knew the immense value of the church that it had been obtained by his Lord's blood. Jesus died to save them, and he lives by the resurrection to protect us. He knew the church as immensely valuable as it is. But the church is in perpetual danger, day in and day out. That's why he says, be on the alert. And that's why he cared for the church's spiritual condition. He was careful. He knew that the church was always in danger, believing lies and departing to follow those lies. There is but one church family. One church. It has nothing to do with four walls and a ceiling. And as you as an individual who have received the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, you are the church. You are the sanctuary of God the Holy Spirit. You are of immense value. And we need to look after each other and keep each other safe from the evil one and from these lies. Being that there was but one church, and now there are hundreds of denominations. There's one church family, and we find it in the Word of God. That's why he guarded them so carefully, just as Kathy and I have been so careful to protect all of you and others over the many years we have been here to serve. The next mark is he lived among them honorably. Honorably. Acts 20, verses 33 through 35. I coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. Kathy and I have come to none of you and asked you for any part of your wealth to come alongside us and help us. Kathy and I do thank those of you who chose, knowing that there was a need and you sacrificed that which the Lord had given you to come alongside us. Thank you. If we didn't thank you enough then, we thank you now. Thank you very, very much. Very much. I coveted no one silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he himself said, Jesus himself said, family, lock it away in your heart. It is more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed to give than to receive. I look at that rich man that Jesus was watching at the temple as he went to the offering box and he put in a ton of money. And he went away being very proud of himself. But he gave out of this ton of money. He did not give a ton of money. And there was that sweet mom, poor, exceedingly. And she walks up and she has two mites, two pennies. She drops them in the box. And Jesus is so very, very proud of her because in faith, she is going to trust in God, her Father, to look after her because what she gave was everything she had. Christian, remember the woman with two mites. Some of the greatest joys Kathy and I have shared has been in taking care of the church financially. Refinancing our home to pull out equity to meet needs of the church. You see, the equity in our home isn't ours. Our home isn't ours. God gave it to us. He gave it to us, and the equity that was in it was His. And GHCC was in need. Paul could look at Paul's life, or people could look at Paul's life and see that he lived with integrity. He was above board in his financial matters. He worked hard. He was generous with his money. And when there were other times, I worked up to 3 part-time jobs to take care of those who needed care. When you found someone who does those things, you found a faithful minister. Family, you have a faithful minister in Pastor Eugene. You have faithful ministers in Chris and in Gary and so many others. Question, what does a faithful ministry look like? It looks like serving. Serving, Father God, selflessly. Preaching the word faithfully. Guarding the spiritual condition of others carefully. And living honorably. When you found someone who does these things, you found a faithful minister. That's the record that Paul took with him, and it's the record that Kathy and I hope will be taking with us. Family, when you get to enjoy this kind of ministry, you have experienced a blessing from Abba Father. Don't miss the opportunity to praise Jesus for the faithful ministry we've been able to enjoy together in the past and in this present day over these 4 decades. Praise Father God, family. Praise Him that He raises up faithful pastors in the future. That He raises up faithful pastors who love Him, who seek His best and His greatest good, and at their expense, and are willing to serve His flock faithfully. What a gift from Father God, who loves and cares for His church family. Get it? Good. It is Kathy's and my hope we will take with us a good track record, but that's not the only thing we hope to take with us. Like Paul, we are hoping to take something else. As we enter into this new season of our lives, look at your notes. We are also leaving with a mission. Acts 20, verse 22 through 24. Paul says, "And now behold, leaders, look, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me. In every city, that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself. If only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, yes. What a passage. Paul was leaving not because it was comfortable. He was leaving because he felt constrained by the Holy Spirit. Kathy and I are moving into a new season, a short season. All the other seasons we have come through have embraced 77 years, 80 years. But he was leaving because he felt constrained by the Spirit. He knew the road ahead of him was difficult. But it didn't matter. His goal was not to live a comfortable life. That seems to be the goal of most Americans. But to finish the course in ministry that our Heavenly Father had given to him, to testify to the gospel of the grace of Father God. Amen. Why are Kathy and I leaving our positions of leadership? Not because we are going to do something easy. We're going because we have a mission. To have a greater presence in the lives of our children, our family, to begin with. Paul would find himself in prison. I don't think that's part of Abba's plan for Kathy. He was afflicted in many ways, as I've taught you and shown you in 2 Corinthians. My afflictions are diabetes, a bad back, tremors, 80-year-old parts wearing out, needing replacement. But it's worth it if only we may finish our course of the ministry we've received from our Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of his grace, his favor upon our lives. Question, here's your last fill in. What did Paul take with him? A good track record and mission. And that is exactly what Kathy and I hope to take with us too. Get it?
Amen.
Good family. May I pray over you? Abba, thank you so very much for your warm and very loving presence with us this morning. Abba, I want to thank you personally for Kathy's and this church family that you have given us for so many years. Thank you for those who absented themselves this morning from their home church to be here to extend their love and kindness to Kathy and to me. Thank you so very much. This comes a great sacrifice that they have made. And Kathy and I know what that means. And so we really want them to know we are grateful. Father, you've put in place a marvelous church family that I know you have revealed. You want to do great and awesome things for your glory, for your honor, and you want to use these people here, your sons, your daughters, to go forth and to do these things. And the biggest primary thing is to share your loving gospel with those who have yet to hear, those who need to hear yet again. And we look to you to be bringing people to faith in Christ. What a joy it is to look to my left, the church family's right, at this vase, and there are two white roses in there. Two people got to hear the gospel of Christ this past week by a GHCCer. And I thank you, my Lord. I thank you for so many that have received the gospel through this church family. Continue to do so, my Lord. Continue to do so. Grow this church, Father. Grow it up numerically. Grow it up in their using of their spiritual gift mix, doing tremendous things, all for your glory. May they be using the skills that you gave them from the time of their birth, again, for your honor. May GHCC, as it is already known, where people have come to get well, who have been hurt in other churches, and they have been nursed back to health. May this ministry never end, but may there be new ministry that takes place now because of the skills you've given these people, and that they use them selflessly. They serve you wildly because they love you, as Kathy and I do. So I pray this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, for the glory of you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.